thank Shmuel to hosting us tonight. And it's a pleasure to be here in a wonderful Torah house. Oh, echoes over here. and Mr. Shem, we have a wonderful share ahead of us. Tuli, can you put up the Mar Makomus? Okay, so now see, halakhically, a few, we had a shaila, let's develop it. What do we come to conclusion last week? We had this case of the boat case. The boat case where we said in the Gemara, it's a case from the Gemara, that he was going on the boat, he hired a boat to carry his goods, and it sank halfway through. And obviously he didn't get any benefit out of that work, and he didn't finish the work at all. And still, the Gemara says he has to pay the whole job. He has to pay for the whole job of the wages of the worker, the shipman. So that's what we're trying to search. Is there such a scenario where the worker doesn't do a job, and no, this happens, you still have to pay for everything? So we saw that you did. The problem was that we've got another rule that says when an onus happens, like the river dries up and the worker can't finish the job, he doesn't get paid. He doesn't get paid for what he hasn't done. He only gets paid for what he's done. So we've got a bit of a conflict here. Does an owner stop the worker doing the job? Does he get paid or not get paid? What's the difference between the ship case and the case of the river drying up? So we came up with this chiddush of the Ritva. The Ritva says there's a difference. And the following one just quotes chiddush. Afka kablon da alma shlo niska ela bedibba alma. Where you just hire the worker without any contract or any kinyan, just a verbal agreement, and even if he starts working and he's done half the job, then you only pay for what he's done. Whatever he hasn't done, you don't pay. Because the idea of that certain agreement was, I'm paying for services received. What I receive, I pay. Whatever I don't receive, I don't pay. I'm a kablan shishchayv legamri, a kablan, which you hire in such a way that there's a very strong hizchayvus. In such a way, Moshe Chadzoma, you made a certain kinyan, you signed the contract, you did such a kinyan, hagbar, meshicha on the item that you're working on necessarily, and or you paid money, yeah? You've done the actual kinyan on the contract. So in the eyes of the Ritva, you've now just changed the payment from being a payment just for services, and therefore you only pay for services received, to now, when you've done the kinyan, you actually bought him for that period of time. You've actually bought him for that period of time, that course of the job. You bought him, you bought an item, and an onus happens, you can't come crying, you still have to pay. But if it's an onus happens, and it's not the worker's fault, he doesn't lose anything from his wages, then he has to get paid even if you don't receive the services, because the payment is not in due of services. The payment was, you now owe him, you got him, and now, okay, it always happens that you can't use him, that's your fault. That was the chiddush of the Ritva, the difference between the boat case and the river case. Sometimes you pay, and sometimes you don't. Depends whether there's a contract or just a verbal agreement. That defines whether you're paying for services or actually own him for that course of the job. That is his chiddush. So based on that, we'll come to this following shaila. The shaila was this famous, we'll repeat the case again, but the case was that young killer, we call him young killer, who came into a dentist's office and he asked for a checkup and he wanted to get his teeth sorted out. And after the checkup, the dentist says, there's a lot of work to be done over here, the extractions, crowns, replacements, all type of big work. Needs quite a bit of materials to be involved in it. It's a long process and very expensive. 20,000 shekels initial payment for all the work that's going to be done in advance. So he gave him initially, he took out of his pocket, and he had cash on his hands, a wallet envelope of 20,000 shekels. Well, a bit surprising, but he gave him over. And that's for the whole procedure that is expected to be done. So he comes for two sessions. started the procedure, obviously, and then he doesn't come for the third one. The dentist tries tracking him, phone him up, no answer, no response. Doesn't know what to do. He's got his money and there's no guy to work on his teeth. Then he found out, look at newspapers, Meister Shahoya Kachoya, the guy is the famous Ganef called the Tippus Ganef. Why is he called Tippus Ganef? Because he has the ability in the eyes of climbing walls that are perpendicular and getting into places no one expects a Ganef to get into. And he's been doing this for many years. He's been finally tracked down by the police and now is caught, and they expect him to have a trial and get into prison for many, many years for his business. So now the question is like this, that's facing the dentist. What does he do with the money? He's been hired to do a job. He's received money in lieu of the job. He started the job, and now there's an onus there that stops him doing the job. But he wants to do the job. He's prepared to do the job. It's just there's an onus that stops him doing the job. So to speak, in a way, like the river drying up, he wants to do the job. He's got nothing to work on. He wants to transport the wine. It's down at the bottom of the ocean. So now there's an onus that stops him doing the job. He's been paid for. He hasn't yet provided the job. What's it in? What is that money? Does he have to give the money back? And or can he keep the money? That's the initial shayla we want to ask. So based on this rules that we establish in the eyes of the refa, what's going to be the answer for the initial question we're asking tonight? What do you think?
According to the refa, it depends if it's a kinyan or not.
So the story says it depends if it's a kinyan, and Shmuel's saying
paying the money is the chora kinyan.
There is a kinyan. What's the kinyan? Shmuel says the kinyan of obligation here is the money. You know, you can acquire avodim and karka with kinyan chazoka shtar and kesef. Kesef is a way of a kinyan which is absolute when it comes to karka and avodim. And if so, if a kinyan has been performed of avodim, basically the revoir explains that when you make kinyonim on a worker, you basically turn him into an avid. So it should really work with the same kinyonim as avodim to perceive such a result. So therefore, once you've given money, therefore kinyon has been formed, and therefore what's going to be the result? Is it doma to the case of the ship where he gets wages even if the service is one? Is it doma to the case of the river drying up that you only pay for the service providers? What's going to be the halacha? Once a kinyan has been done, what's going to be the halacha?
The ship.
Yes, Danny, what?
At the ship.
You can keep the money. Yeah, he received it, keeps it on the kinyan. Okay, there's an onus preventing the work being finished. That the onus is the one who suffers, is the one who has bought the item. In this case, you bought the dentist, so therefore the onus is on the back of the gunner over here, and therefore he doesn't get his money back. So lechora, that should be the halacha.
Wait, according to the Ritva, it should be the opposite.
Why?
Because we said that according to the Ritva, if you have a kinyan, then it's kilo, the worker is yours, and you suffer the losses for work that's not done.
Yes. Who's the worker here?
The worker's the dentist.
Yes, and who's going to lose?
Oh, the buyer, right. The buyer's going to lose. Right.
The buyer's the gunner. So the gunner's going to lose. He's bought something which he can't use. Okay, owner stops him using it. So therefore, he has to suffer the loss, and he doesn't get the services, and he still pays. That's the chor which should come out from the ritva. Well, we'll see if this is poshut or not poshut. Let's go back to our Marmara Komis over here, Tuli, and we'll introduce a certain opinion over there, which is the Rosh.
Anton, can I ask?
What yes, Danny, ask the question.
What if you would have given checks instead of cash?
Well, checks, very good question. What's the status of checks? Is checks called a kinyan or not a kinyan? I think it's a very good question, but I think we're going to tackle that just in a few minutes' time. It's very relevant to a question or analysis of what's going to be a halakha in a certain next case, or a case we really discuss or really want. We're going to see what's the status of the case. I'll mention it there, even though it's not on my Ron McComas, since you brought it up. I'll mention it at that stage. Very good question, Danny. We'll tackle it in a few minutes' time. So let's go back to our Mar Makomas, and we'll introduce an opinion of the Rosh. Now, the Rosh is talking about this boat case. And remember, the Gemara said that, well, it sank halfway through. You have to pay the wages. You have to pay the wages. So the Rib father said, you mean you have to pay the wages on everything? Must be because you made a kin. Let's see how the Rosh understood that Gemara. The Rosh says, Lonihin. Ah, that doesn't make sense to me. Mashapish, you have a kulagla? That you explain that the Gemara meant that you give all the wages? The El Mashal Chorin Tishil Abalabai Shloyot Yosef Abub Seder. That we know from the case of the river drying up, if there's an onus happen, which no one is negligent in knowing about the onus, then the one who loses is the worker. He only gets paid for what he's done or not. So why should this be different? Now, obviously, the Ritva says, I've got an answer. Obviously, the Ritva answer is not light in the eyes of the Rosh. Hilchoch, therefore, he explains, there is no difference between the boat case and the river case. What it means that you pay, it means you pay for the journey that he's already done, and but not what you haven't done. So it means you pay for half the journey, not the whole journey. You know, he did half the journey, then it sank. You pay, stressing you pay, but it didn't mean the whole journey, because he never did the whole journey. It meant what he did. And the chiddush of the Gemara was, even though you didn't get any benefit out of it, because it sank, but still pay for what he did. But chas shalom, in the eyes of the Rosh, do you ever pay for something you never did? The rule of worker is you pay for service received, not for service you don't receive. If there's an onus happens, you never pay for service not received, and that's clear from the case of the river. And it's not going to be different in the boat, and all the Gemara that meant by boat is he give him half the wages of what you received, which is half the journey. So in the eyes of the Rosh, he argues on the whole halacha. He says there's no difference. The rule is uniform. Every scenario, whether there's a kinyan or not a kinyan, the halacha is going to be the same. Worker receives money for what's done and not what's not done. So if so, then obviously the results will be different in our Ashayla. According to the Rosh, in our Gardner, who's a tippus, yeah, and he's paid for the work which he hasn't yet received, and is an onus which prevents him receiving it. What's going to be the conclusion in the eyes of the Rosh will be different from the river. The result will be, according to the Rosh, that what does the dentist have to do? Can he give it or not?
Money.
He has to give back the money. He has to give part back the money. Return the money.
Only part. He would keep part for the two procedures.
Obviously,
he did.
For the like Tully says, for the two sessions which received, which is very minimal in respect to the 20,000 shekels which he already received, it's a very minimal amount. That a minimal amount he can keep, but the money now he's going to give back. Now, I just add something. In the eyes of Rosh, you do give it back. Who would you give it back to? That's our government. I'm just throwing this shiloh in.
Maybe the government? If it was stolen?
Yeah, well, he didn't steal it from the government, but on the right track. Where would he give it back to?
The Balei Chov.
He will give it, hand it over to the courts and say this is the money which was belonging to the Ganav, and obviously now becomes the state of the Ganav. And if there's any debts which the Ganav owes due to his Ganavis, I'm not sure there is, then it's going to be dished out, have to be dished out according to compensate the people he has infringed on their lives and taken their money. And he has to their debts owed. That's in the Asugi of Shibud Rab Nosson, that's, and debts owed, that's where he has to be. So he has to be careful. In the eyes of Rosh, yeah, he gives back to the right place. There's a bit of a chiv of our Shabbos Aveda if you don't give it right to the right place. So you have to give it back to a place where the debtors of the Ganav will be able to receive it. Not the Ganav himself, not in his Swiss bank account, or if it doesn't exist anymore, that's not possible. At least you can go to Guernsey. You can go to Guernsey still and use those bank accounts. That's right. But I'm not giving you advice, obviously. That's for your tax advisor. Matis is not here, so he can advise you. Now, so we've got a big machlokas. So we don't know what's going to be halacha lamaisa. A big machlokas. Work performed, even with a kinyan, work performed. Well, there's a lot of work which hasn't been performed. Who can suffer the loss? Does the worker keep everything in the eyes of the Ritva? Yes, in the eyes of the Rosh, not. What's going to be halacha? Let's see from our Mar Makomos what the halacha seems to be from the Shulchan Aruch, at least. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this. Says Hagar. Basically, the Shulchan Aruch brings the Ritva, that you pay everything, comes along the Ramah, and says, V'yesh omrim, de'ein noisena el'eschiyas v'chatzi adech. But there is an opinion out there, which is the Rosh, that says you only pay for what you received. So it comes out that not only is the machlokas in Roshonim, but when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are mentioned. Both opinions are mentioned. The Mechaber, Piskei Svardim, just mentioned the Ritva's opinion, you pay everything. But the Ramah does bring down the Rosh. So what's going to be halacha lemaisa now that we've got a machlokas in halacha in the Shulchan Aruch brought down of whether you have to pay everything or not? What's going to be halacha lemaisa? How are we going to apply it now to everything we discussed?
So if you're Sfardi, you'll go with the Mechaber. And if you're Ashkenaz, you'll say Kimbud.
Okay, so if Sfardi, you go with Mechaber. So according to Mechaber, you pay everything. Does the dentist need to give it back or not give it back? What's going to be the halacha according to Sfardi?
No.
No, according to the Ramah, that he does relate to opinion of the Rosh that says you only pay for what you received. What's going to be do with the dentist? Does he give it back or not give it back?
Not give it back.
Give it back.
No. Don't give it back. He already has it as
Rosh. Don't give it back. Don't give it back.
It's Kimli like the Mechaber.
For different reasons. What's the reason why even the Ramah says don't give it back? What's the reasoning?
No. I'm saying the Ramah would say give it back, but the Beis Din would say we've got a machlokes mechaber Ramah, and we're choshesh for the mechaber, and the dentist could say I hold like the mechaber.
Okay.
Why would you say a motzi mechaber al baraya?
Yeah, correct. Steve is absolutely correct, which is what Tony wanted to say, is that it's a motzi mechaber al baraya, that since it is a machlokes. And let's be more accurate, Tuli. Even Ramah understood it's a machlokas. He says, yesh omrim. It means he's not saying that's halach. He's just saying there is a. So it is a machlokas. Machlokas is kimli. Kimli means hamotzeh harayah. Wherever the money is, it stays. And therefore, in the case of the dentist, who's going to keep the money? The Ramah would say, even the Ramah would say keep the money in that case because hamotzeh harayah. The Mechaber would say the dentist keeps it because that's halacha. The Ramah would say you keep it because hamotzeh harayah. Both agree in this case on the dentist because it happens to be the dentist holding the money. Now, the question though is if you go back to some other comments, we see two other cases, and here we're going to tackle Danny's Shiloh. Remember, we had two other cases, which was the bus case. They hired a bus, and a whole group hired a bus to get to Yerushalayim and Svart. And a certain amount of journey was performed, but then it started steaming and there's problems with the bus. And he said, trust me, go on. They don't want to trust him. They get off the bus and they don't want to wait 20 minutes for the replacement bus. Okay. And they decide the only way to, they gave on their own direction. And now they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay for anything because they got a replacement, which basically costs everything that they were going to pay. In any case, they don't want to pay anything to the original company. Similar Shiloh with the Ganenet. Comes around, she's now in Bidud, she can't perform her services because of the corona laws that prevents her from performing the services. She's in Bidud, she comes in contact with maybe somebody who's in corona, she has to close down the gun for that period of time, and now she can't perform her services because of an onus. So we've got two similar cases. Where an owner stops them performing their services, would like to perform the services, but there's owners out there that stops them performing services. And we want to know whether you paid for the services, which you didn't receive, do you not? So the Chor is totally on whether you're paskin like the Ritva or the Rosh or not. Yeah. So that is it true? Is it totally on whether you're paskin like the Ritva or not? So both cases of the company and in the case of the Ganenet, there was their kinyan performed or not a kinyan? Because the whole machlokas between the Ritva and the Rosh, and therefore halacha machlokas or discussion, is once there was a kinyan performed, then we still have a machlokas. Ritva says kinyan, okay, that's finished. The worker gets everything. Rosh says, doesn't matter. Even if it's a kinyan, he doesn't get. What? Firstly, was there a kinyan performed in hiring the ganenet or the bus company? Was there any kinyan performed? That's the first question we ask. Nope.
Depends.
Yeah. Do they have a contract? What do you mean by depends?
Did they have a contract? Did they have payment sent already?
Okay. So generally, standard Gan Eden's have some sort of contract at the beginning of the year. They send out on the email certain rules, and they say, these are my rules. This is what you have to commit to, and please sign back and to your commitment. And that in itself is called a contract which is binding secular law, and therefore halacha also makes it halachically considered a kinyan, and shtar is one of the things which is called a kinyan for workers. So the kinyan has a kinyan, and then you'll get into machlokas between the ritva and the rosh, what will be the halacha. Similarly, with the bus company, if there's just a verbal agreement, and obviously nothing, but if there's a kinyan, there's some sort of contract out between the one who hired the work and the company, then they obviously we're going to have this machlokas. So let's assume there was a kinyan, and now we've got this machlokas. What's going to be halacha? In the eyes of the Sfaradim, what's going to be the halacha? Halacha is going to be, obviously, in the eyes of the Sfaradim, we pass on like the Ritva. Once the kinyan is done, the halacha is you're going to have to pay even for things you didn't receive. But in the eyes of the Ashkenazim, we said it goes out, as Steve says, we go, whoever's holding the money or not. Now, is the bus company holding any money? No money. So the eyes of the Ramah, what would be the halacha? Do they have to pay or not have to pay?
You don't have to pay for what the part trip.
They don't need to have to pay for the job which wasn't performed. Only part of the trip.
But in the case of the bus, they didn't pay in advance?
No, they didn't pay in advance. Yeah, that's the company was asking for the money, they didn't pay in advance. That was the Maisa Shoyu. They just hired them and they get paid at the end of the journey. They get paid in advance. Yeah. Now, the case of a Gananit, we have Danny's scenario. Checks were given. That's how Gananit works. Give me checks, 12 checks, one per month. Some of them are post-dated. Some of them are in time. What's going to be the status of that? Is that who's holding money? Is checks called holding money? And is post-dated checks called holding money? What's the status of checks? Is that called holding money or not holding money?
I would argue yes.
You argue yes. Okay. I like explanations on top of the word yes. I can also do dreidel, even though it's Chanukah, Purim, yes, it's Purim. I can also play dreidel. No, so what's the reason behind yes?
Even though the check writer could always contest the check and stop the check, and therefore the receiver would never actually get the money for a post-dated check if he did that, but there's that's sheker. Meaning that there's a minog olam that giving a check is considered payment, that we're accepting it based on the idea that you've made this commitment, and therefore to then go ahead and make and contest it, that would be would not seem to be kosher.
A beautiful answer is the answer which I would love to hear, because I want to use it to show how wrong it is, how the wrong way of looking at things. Anyone else got something to say?
It's like a star.
A check is like a star. The promise to pay in the future.
It's a promise to pay in the future. Maybe it's a shtar. Very good, Baruch. Very good, David. Yeah, very good definitions. More halakhically accurate than Tuli. But Tuli is a wonderful way of bringing out the point. Yeah. Tuli, I'm going to explain. Yeah, you're correct, but you're wrong. That's it. For sure, it's a Kenyan. And for sure, once you've done a check, yeah, that means I understand that a person's giving a check over. It's called Situmta Minar to relate to that you've bought the item, whatever you're giving the check in front of. It's now become yours, the item, through the giving the check. Yeah, it's called a Kenyan. And that's how, because the Minar, the Situmta out there, understands check is a form of transaction. But the Maisa, to say the piece of paper itself is the physical money, that's not necessarily true. That's not true. Physical money is physical money. And where the money is, it's still registered under the bank account belonging to the buyer. And therefore, the money is still, until it's withdrawn, considered in possession physically of the buyer. So therefore, when you come to the Din Torah, they say, look, you've done a kinyan, but there's a machlokus of now, even what's a kinyan, where you deserve money. Now, where's the money? Physically, the money's still in the bank. If it's physically still in the money's bank, then the one who's mochsik on that money is obviously the owner of the bank account. As like you said, the proof of the pudding that he is holding the money, because he can stop the money coming out and getting into your hands at any stage, even though it's not a proper thing, a legal thing, or it's a proper thing because he can taina and claim that I never received the goods. Now, it's recognized you can mevatel checks, especially in this country, you can mevatel checks in lieu of not receiving goods. In other countries, you can stump and mevatel a check and there's no consequences of that. It depends which country. But even in this country, you can mevatel a check, stop the money going out, and you can even get away with it without claims against you if you say in lieu of not receiving goods. And that's the scenario we're having over here. I didn't receive the goods. I don't want to pay.
Yes. My question is, what about a credit card where, let's say, they took it out of my bank account, but they have not yet given it. It says a 30-day wait before they give it to the seller. So now it's really not with the buyer and not with the seller. The credit card company has the money right now. I could still contest. I have a right to contest even after the fact. I have a right to contest even after it gets the money. So how would you view the money then? Whose rishus is that?
So once it's left the hands of the buyer, so to speak, then if the only way of getting it back is now it's in a third party's hands, is contest, the company will have to say, well, I can't make decisions on contestment because he's also contesting that he deserves it. He's contesting he doesn't deserve it. I'll leave it up to the authority to decide who's correct, which means the authority is, in this case, is Beis Din will have to decide who's correct. But the Metzius is the money is now not in anybody's hands. In such a case, we'll have a different scenario. We're going to have to go into shilas of a machlokas over money, which is in no one's hands. Sometimes we say kol ta'alim gvah, and sometimes we say yachloku, depending on different scenarios. We're not going to go into those complicated tom v'nitzon shilas of when do we say kol ta'alim gvah, when do we say yachloku. We won't say mitzvah in such a case, but one of those two. Or we've got three options: leaving to Eliyahu Novi, Yachloku, or Kol Ta'alim Gvah. That's all options when there's no one Musak. And that's the example of it. When do you say each option? Different shir, different topic altogether. Okay. But, yeah, Danny, thank you for bringing up the topic, Danny, about the checks. Tuli, thank you for saying what you said, because it helped us understand everything. And everyone for giving the right answer, Danny and David.
Bob, can I ask a question?
Yes, Steve.
Is there a limit on the Mechaber? I mean, I hire a kablan to build me a house for $1 million. And, you know, the day after we signed the contract, the government says, whatever, no more building. The onus. I have to pay him $1 million? He didn't do anything?
Okay.
That seems hard to believe.
So, therefore, we have to decide in the kablan what is exactly you're paying for in the kablan. Because a lot of it is raw materials. And, therefore, if it's raw materials, then that's not work payments. That's payment for goods. If goods were never supplied, doesn't matter what the onus is, you don't need to pay for the goods. Regarding the work is if there's a lot of it was costs, meaning Arabs working. Therefore, if that was never come into the equation, then obviously that's not part of the shayla. The only shayla would be for the personal wages of the actual kablan and his profit margin. That will be the shayla which you're talking, Stephen. That we so we're already lowering the claim at that stage.
Well, you can make these questions stronger. You can make it stronger if it's a physical fitness person. He's a physical trainer. So there's no supplies whatsoever. If you sign up for a whole year of physical training and you pay him $10,000 up front.
Yeah. Well, that you're asking the same shayla as the dentist. That's the dentist shayla. He paid the $20,000 up front. Yeah. You got 400 shekels worth. Well, what about the other? So we're saying the ritva, the machaber, keep the money. Steve, you'll be a bit, we'll discuss your point that there is some sort of recourse, even in the eyes of the machaber and the ritva, there is some sort of recourse to control this that it doesn't get out of proportions. We'll develop this slide. But we're going Kaseta. At the moment, we're saying machaber, ritva, pay. Onus doesn't stop you having to pay once a contract has been drawn up. A Ramah goes after Muhsik, and therefore who's dependent on who's holding the money? Checks are not holding money. Money is money if he's holding the money. Okay, so let's go back to Amram Makomis. So we're saying, halakhically, it seems to be a different result in the case, at least for Ashkenazim, between the dentist case where everyone agrees he can keep the money, and the case of the bus and the ganenitz, where according to the Ashkenazi poskim, will be that he can't get the money because the money hasn't yet got into his hand. And it's a machlokes. Now, let's see if that's also true, that there's a difference between the cases of the bus and the ganenitz to the case of the dentist. What I mean, let's go back to this Ritva and discuss in detail what does this tosus, go back to this tosus and see in detail what this tosus means, which we had a bit of a discussion last week, but now we're going to clarify. What did tosus mean? Tosus seems to say the same halacha as the Ritva, that even if you don't pay for the boat, you have to pay for services of the boat, even if you didn't receive, means the whole journey. But he's saying words which doesn't sound like the Ritva's explanation, which was contract. Money was done, has to be given because a contract, a kinin was done. That's the Ritva. See, let's read the Ritva Tosus again and see why he says you have to pay. So Tirat Srivon, Dela'el, Sha'apolim, Lo of the Klum. In the case of the field, the river dries up. He only did half the job. Now, the Polim, the worker, hasn't lost anything. He's done half and he can't do the rest of the half. It's not called a loss. Rutsch's battle. Now he just means he's got a half a day where he can't do work and can't bring wages in. But he didn't lose anything which he had. He had some, didn't have something which he lost. He just lost potential money from a potential job. But no, so therefore, you don't give him for work which is not performed. You only give for the first half of the day where he actually worked. And the second half, you don't give. Avahocha, by here, by the boats, Shamaski hisses. So the worker, who's the boat guy, has actually lost, not only just didn't get all his wages for, and he lost half a journey, he lost actually something which he had called the boat. So you have to pay him. Given Shemazumla Kaim Tzai, because he wants to finish the job, you have to pay him. Now, what does he mean? What does he mean? In the case of the river, he's saying he hasn't lost anything, the worker, so you only pay for what you received. In the case of the boat, since he's lost something which was his, called the boat, now you have to pay for everything. Why? Why for him losing the boat, I have to pay? I can say, I can rachmonus on him. I can daven for Hashem, bringing him a more panosa to recover his losses. But why do I, the guy who hurt you, have to pay for your loss of boat? I didn't cause the loss of your boat. It was an onus, deep water sea. Hurricane happened, no one could expect it, went down, nothing to do with the wine guy who wants his thing. So why me, Mr. Wine Guy, have to pay for your loss, which I'm not the cause of? Why should I have to pay?
He is the cause. He's only taking the boat out on a trip because the wine guy hired him.
He's taking the boat out on the trip because he wants to make a panos.
Yes, but the wine guy directed him to do it. So therefore, if he suffers a loss...
Look, I don't care which way you want to go. I need to get my wine within 20 days from the Portsmouth in England to Tel Aviv port or Yaffa port in Eretz Israel. Now, how you go through the North Sea, you go through the Mediterranean, you go through the Suez Canal, I don't care. That's your job. You decide to go through this way, hurricane hits, boom, you're down at the ocean. I cause you to go down at the bottom of the ocean. I caused that. I directed you to be sunk.
I mean, it would normally be called a grumma at worst, but now we're facting. It's not just that. It's that coupled with the fact we have a shyla as to now who's an onus and no one's at fault. And now who's going to get the money, who's not. So maybe now we're being with Starif, the grumma of causing his boat to be lost with the fact that anyway, we have a shyla who should get the money. And now we give it to the guy that took the loss. The guy that was hired.
And you make a very good cheshbon, but it sounds like the conclusion is totally wrong. You're making a cheshbon like this. You're saying, look, it's a grommer at worst, and it was onus. So you're saying, I would say, if it's a grommer, and he didn't even mean it, it was onus, then for sure he doesn't pay.
I'm saying onus on the other side. I'm saying onus the gabe both parties.
Yeah, so both parties onus.
Both
so
parties
why should now causes the onus of both parties mean the guy who was, let's say, a grommer, if you call that a grommer, has to pay because he's an onus and he's an onus? Onus means that nothing was meant bad over here.
Right, so onus, both parties are equal. The onus part, both parties are equal, and therefore we don't know who to give the money to. But now we also got the fact that the buyer...
Why don't we know who to give the money to when it's onus? Why don't we know where to give it? Because it's onus. There's a rule out there that says, I only pay for what I receive. That's received from the fields case and the river drying up. Didn't receive this, don't need to pay. It's not a shiner, it's not a sulfic. I don't need to pay. I didn't receive anything. I don't need to pay for what I don't receive. Signing for the boat case, you didn't receive and still have to pay because there's an onus that happens that caused a loss to the worker, not due to anything to do with the hirer. Doesn't make sense to me on the face of things. Shmuel wants to say something. Yes, Shmuel, go on.
The person with the boat is taking a risk. When he takes on this job, he's putting something in the pot. He's putting the risk in his boat. And so for him to lose out and not to receive anything, he's made an investment in this job.
So Shmuel's talking businesslike. He's saying that the worker is investing, yes? Yeah. The worker is investing his boats into the job. That's the what Shmuel's saying. The worker is investing, putting money into the job of the transport of the wine for the benefit of the wine guy. He's investing his own money for the benefit of the wine guy to get what the wine guy wants, is to get to a destination. Now, it's nothing to do with mazik, it's nothing to do with grammars, it's a vort of an explanation called investment. Now, that's the word Shmuel says. We have to try and understand what that means. He's investing a boat into transporting the wine from Portsmouth to Jaffa. So what does it mean, he's investment? Therefore.
Yeah, so I can't remember. Did he pay in advance for the transport?
Well, we're going in at least the shitter of Tosas that was talking the explanation of the Gemara. He hasn't been paid. He hasn't yet been paid. Nothing's been paid. And the halacha is in the eyes of Tosas, the wine goes down, you have to pay everything. And Tosas is saying, why is this? This is a special case, not like the field case. It's a place you have to pay even if you don't receive and you have to give over the money. And we want to know why. Tosas is saying, the way that Shmuel is saying, it's nothing to do with damage claim. It's to do with he made an investment into the business, so to speak, into the wine. He made the investment for the sake of the wine. And that's a reason for now the wine guy to pay for the boat. That goes down. Now, we have to understand those are accurate words, so to speak, in translating the words of Tosas. But you haven't yet got clarity of how does it work? Why? Yes, it's investments. We have to understand what that means exactly, investment. And why does that mean there's now a liability because of this investment for the employer, who the wine guy, for pay the worker for his...
It's not just a halfway. Before, we have a worker who's only working, he's only half the work, he's only done half the work, he's paid for half the work. And for the rest, he's got nothing in the pot. Here, the person brought the boat, for the entire, he's fully invested for the entire trip. He pre-invested, he put himself out for the entire trip. You can't call it only half a job.
Okay, so Shmuel's saying, adding something, he's saying, you're not just paying for half a job, because then you only pay for half a job. Here you're paying also for his investment. Let's see, these words are spoken out by the Chazanish. And we'll see the Chazanish explain it in a very clear manner that everyone understands as well. Yeah, Shmuel's is nearly there. Shmuel's nearly there. Let's go back to the Marmakomis and go down to the Chazanish. So Chazanish says like this. Yesh la'ayim. He sees Tosis and says, look, you have to try to understand. Matam, what's the reasoning? Ha'ein sochel chayv behesu shamaskir. The wine guy's not responsible for the ship going down. He didn't cause it. And she don him and chayv iskir. So the whole shayla is, does he have to pay for wages or not? Not damages. Vim adin nosen shein chayv b'chatz iterach. If you tell me you only have to pay for what you received and not the other half, kiyas is sweetness of my avi. So what if he lost the ship? It's got nothing to do with the employer, the wine guy. Venera. So he says like this. This is Peshat. Le'olam scha shamaskil notam. When the boat guy takes and charges his fees, kolobo is included in the charge is achray shel otsin. Kochol hadrochim dakes kasagona. Included in the charge is taking on, you know, you're taking on liability that if any onus happens, then there's going to be responsibility over there, even for onsin. And you should know, every place I go with a boat, water is dangerous. Water, ships, yodua, travel by ships is a dangerous profession. It's understandable. Things not necessarily go smoothly when you're going to sea. But in Be'emes Ir Onus, if at the end of the day, an onus happens that the ship sinks, called as a storm, Havile, we look at it like this. That the harrier, the wine guy, actually used the boats more than half the journey. And therefore you have to pay for what you use. So you're paying for what you use. What did you use? You think you only use half the journey? No, you use half the journey and the ship. You use the ship. Your ship, what it means, you made the ship, you actually use the ship to a certain extent that now doesn't exist. Yeah, like you're paying for wear and tear, you pay for complete wear and tear. The whole thing disappears, you also pay for. So that's because you used it. Your transporting of the wine, take a bit of words from Tuli, which are accurate. The words are accurate, but there's nothing to do with Muzik. Your job that you asked me to do of transferring the wine is the reason why the boat is in the bottom of the sea. The wine is the reason. If there's no job, there's no boat at the bottom of the sea. So the wine is a cause. The job is the cause of why the boat is at the bottom of the sea. So if the job is the reason why the boat is at the bottom of the sea, so therefore, you have to pay for the job. What's the job? The job is halfway plus the use of the fact that there's no boat anymore, because your job caused there's no boat. So therefore, you have to pay also for no boat. Now, if so, then why are you only paying for the whole wages of the work? You should say, oh, look, you pay for half the journey, and the boat is worth $2 million. So you have to pay plus $2 million. No, because that's part of the deal. Why is it part of the deal? The deal Marosh was is that I'm limiting your liability to this fee. It's like an insurance company. He limits your maximum, how much you have to pay. He's saying, look, if you give me all your wages for this journey, that's enough for me to do this business over here. You've received everything which requires you to pay everything. What? Half the journey and the boat's now disappeared. So you have to pay for everything. All the wages, but not more than all the wages. That's how the Chazon Ish is learning it. It's a contractual obligation to pay all wages when the job is the cause of the item which you're hiring to be at the bottom of the sea.
What if it was like a rowboat and it was worth less than all the wages? So the job was 20,000 and the rowboat loss was only 10,000. So do you only pay up to the loss, or you still pay for the entire journey?
He's still paying for the entire trip because he's saying, look, I have to, this is how I reckon the loss of a boat is going to be worth to me. If I lose a boat, then I have to get hold of another one, and it's for business. And look, and so the tikkun involves, that's part of the job. This is my rule. This is the job, 20,000. If I get to the destination, you're going to pay 20,000 just for the work. Even if I don't get to the destination, the 20,000 is the fact that I'm willing to risk my boat, get it down at the sea because of your job, and go through the whole business of getting replacement. Okay, that's my particular hamsa of covering myself at that stage. That's how the agreement is, so to speak, written on black and white on the paper. If you would actually black and white, then it would be valid. You'll pay 20,000 for the journey, and if you don't get it in one piece, you're paying 20,000 for the part of the journey and the loss of the boat. That's basically how the Chazon Ish is setting up the agreement over here. Yes.
If the ship guy has a contract with 10 different workers who are all hiring, one guy's wine, one guy's oil, and one guy's tissues, he can collect his fee from each of them And what if that's more than the value of the boat?
Yep, he'll be able to collect his fee to each one of them. But then we'll have to understand the Chazadish saw how far we take it. Meaning is that, would he be prepared to go the journey just for the oil guy? Well, it's a combination. The oil guy, the all this together means now he's ready to go on the journey. So all of you are the cause together, jointly, for me going on this journey. So therefore, all of you have to pay the whole contract, which we agreed, because you actually were the cause of why the boat is at the bottom. And so therefore, that's called the use of the boat to its end. You use pay for the use of the boat to its end. You used it to its end. They got what you paid for. You have to pay for the whole thing. We have to discuss. If I just tell you, you're going there in any case, and please transport this present, which I want to take for my grandmother in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a different shaila, because then there's nothing to do with the boat going, because the boat's going in any case. That's what Baruch is pointing out. So, yeah, there's more of a...
What's the question on Tosos? He says, Lashon Poel Batel. Is that less than the full job?
Yeah, that's a bit of a question. The Rosh Shulchanoch doesn't bring it down as necessary pol bottle. There's a machlokas whether you pay pol bottle or not. Pol bottle usually means that at the end of the day, he's having a day off. He doesn't have to do so much tircha. Right. And if he gains that in a certain way that the boat has sunk halfway through, because he hasn't got much, he's at least gained that bet, which means you have to knock off that little difference which he gains. Yeah, but that doesn't make a difference to the actual logic of the Chazon Ish. Whether you knock, he gets the whole wages as you agreed, or you knock off a bit because he's gained a little bit for the fact he only has to do half the journey and he doesn't do the whole journey. That's totally on the Metzius of whether there's a knockoff or not. Okay, very good, David, for putting that out. Now, according to this logic, let's go back to Amar Makomos and analyze what's going to be the result now according to Halacha. Of the cases which we've discussed. Before we get to number four, we just see the cases. According to this Chazon Ish is saying, we've got already the Rosh. Remember the Rosh says, you never pay more than half. Fine. We said there's an opinion out there that says you pay the whole lot. Okay, you pay the whole lot. Say the... Now, what's the reasoning? We've got now two options of what's the reason why you pay the whole lot. Either because you made a contract or because the job was the cause of the loss, which he lost actually something. When he doesn't lose anything, you never pay. You never pay for a whole lot. Even the one who wants to pay make you pay for a lot is limited to a case where he's lost something and the job is the cause of the loss. Now, let's analyze. According to this, the Ganenet case, is there any lost over there? Has the Ganenet lost something which he had?
No.
No. So therefore, even the ones who would normally say you get the whole wages, in the case of the Ganenet, in the eyes of the Tosis explanation, would you get the Ganenet to get money?
No.
No, because you didn't get lost. Okay. In the eyes of Ritva, you do, because there's a contract. In the eyes of the Tosis, you don't, because there's no loss. In the case of the dentist, did the dentist lose anything?
He bought supplies
and he got paid for the supplies. Did he lose any? Did the job cause him to lose something he had?
No.
So again, we're going to see there's a difference. The Ritva say you get paid because there's a contract, but in the eyes of the Tosis explanation of the Chazon Ish, you won't, because there's no loss. Okay, so in those cases, we've got the eyes of the Chazon Ish. There's no machlokas between Tosis and the Rosh. Both Tosis and the Rosh would agree by the dentist and the Ganenet, Lekul Alma, not Sofik, Lekul Alma, you would not keep the money, you have to give it back. Because the only case you get money is in the case where the job caused a loss. And in those cases, job doesn't cause a loss. So there's no machlokas, you only get paid for what you did, and then the rest you have to give back. Now, here's the big question. What's going to be the halacha by the bus? Did the job cause a loss to the worker?
Yes. The bus was damaged en route.
Yeah. So the bus was damaged en route. So then we'll still have a machlokas of what you're going to hold in such a case. Does he get paid or not get paid for work not performed? Then we'll still have a machlokas. Even according to Chazon Ish, then it will be relevant who's holding the money in such a case. And according to Svadim, you have to pay in such a scenario. Okay, so now we've made a big difference. Science svardim Ashkenazi psak, that is kinyan good enough to deserve getting all the wages, or you have to get a loss because of the job? That's what we're discussing now. Now let's go to back to Marbon Kobus and see which Peshat is recognized in Halacha as being the accurate interpretation of why you should get paid for everything. Yeah, there's seems to be three opinions out there. There's the Rosh, who says you only get paid half. You got Tosis, you get paid everything, but only when there's a loss because of the job. And the Ritva says you get paid everything as long as there's a contract, there's a kinyan, even if there's no loss. Okay. So what's going to be the accurate Peshat, at least in the Mechaber, who says you get paid everything, but he's got two options. Is it Tosis everything, or is it Ritva's everything? So says the Shach like this. B'titzu b'shem Rivon. The reason why the boat is different case that you get everything, he's explaining why does the boat get everything. Tashani asam lo ovet ha'pol klum. Because you buy the field, you didn't lose anything. Rosh is bottom locked, he just lost the day's job. But here he's lost something which was his, called the boat. So we see from the Shach that if you hold, you get all the wages, but the reasoning why you get the whole reason, you've got two options, Tosis or the Ritva. How does the Shach say, is the Halacha, is it Tosis' interpretation of everything, or is it the Ritva's interpretation of everything? What does he say?
Tosis'
interpretation of get everything. So therefore, it has to be a loss. The cause has to be because of a loss. The job caused a loss, then you get paid. But if you don't, journey doesn't cause a loss, then you don't get paid. So therefore, l'kula alma, halachically we're saying, sai in the ganenit case, where there's no loss because of the job. Sai in the case of the dentist, there's no loss because through the job. In those cases, everyone will say, svardim, ashkenazim, whether you receive money, you haven't received money, you have to give it back. Because that's the halacha. You're only entitled to keep money if the job caused you a loss, and it didn't. So therefore, in those cases, you have to give it back. The dentist will have to give it back.
But again, what about the dentist supplies? Let's say the dentist spent 10,000 shekels on supplies that he can't use for other clients because they don't need those supplies right now.
So therefore, he can keep.
Keep the money for the supplies.
Ready bought. Like you say over there, it's not that he lost something that he can get all the wages. There is, he's already sold it and ready bought on his behalf, and they already belong to the Ganav. Wherever he is, he can come and pick it up at any time. Yeah. I can't use it for anything else. It's not mine. But as far as work goes, he's not entitled for anything for work which is not performed, because the halacha is you only get that according, even in the eyes of the Svartim, and you can only keep the money in the eyes of Ashkenazim in a case where there's a loss cause of the work. There's no loss cause of the work over here. So
the type of onus, because by the bus it was really they had faulty their bus wasn't kept up well or something. By the ship, that's an onus.
So this point is very good by David, and this is where we're going to finish off this week because time is running out, and it's a good place to also finish. Let's just focus on what David just said at the end. David is telling, look, you're telling me I've minimized the whole machlokus, the ganenet case, everyone's going to agree. The case of the dentist, everyone's going to agree. Work is only what you performed. You can't get money for things which are performed because there's no loss over there. But we're suggesting there's still a machlokas out there in the case of the bus, and therefore Svartim will say that the company can keep everything, and Ashkenazim will say it depends if money was paid or not, and still going to be a machlokas out there because there the job caused a loss. So David is signing a very good signer. Did the job cause a loss over there? How do you look at that case? Why did the bus break down? Was it the job that made the bus break down? Or is the bus intrinsically faulty even before it started and it wouldn't work in any case, nothing to do with the job? Did the job cause its demise? Or it's got nothing to do with the job causing its demise? It's a useless bus. So David's pointing out that you can look at it as that the job didn't cause the demise. It's not like the ship where The wine caused the boat to be in this sea over here at this moment in time, and an outside factor made the sea sank. So therefore, you can say the job was the reason why the boat doesn't exist anymore today. But David's pointing out, it broke down the bus. Is the fact that you told it to go to Svart and the job make it break down? Is that the reason why it broke down or not? David's saying not. Maybe you can say it is. You can play around a bit with this. Yeah, Danny wanted to say something. Go on, Danny.
I'm saying in the case of the ship, then we could say if he decided to go out on a stormy night, right?
Then it's negligence. Okay, you understand. That's not the case of the Gemara. That's a case where he knew there was a problem, and the hire that didn't know it was a problem. We're talking about where nice seas, not nothing expected. Then boom, there's a storm. Nothing. Everyone's owners. Nothing you can predict. And it goes down. But it's a job that made to be eventually in that position. So therefore, we say you have to pay in this. But we're discussing, what about the bus? Is the job making it break or not making it break? It's not like it was suddenly hit by lightning, which would be a similar thing with the boats. It's in this position because of the job. So it got destroyed because of the job. Here it's different. It broke down. But is the job the cause of its breaking down?
This might be malacha. It's going to break down at a certain point. It's not from the job, but it was because of the job.
Yeah, so therefore, something like Shmuel saying, it wasn't because of the job, but it is because of the job. Why? Because it had another, let's say, expert will come in and say, it had another 30 kilometers to go, and then it will break. So who made it go the 30 kilometers? The job made it go this 30 kilometers. But it's not that because of this job, it's the reason why another job wouldn't cause it. Every job would have caused it. He just happened to be the muzzle of these people who hired the company, that they were the ones who were around in hiring it at the time. But you can't say every job which would have made it go 30 kilometers would have caused it to break. It's not like the boat case where it's only the wine who's causing it to sink. No, never other job. Therefore, it's all cases are onus. We're not discussing whether it's onus or not. Avada is onus. Is it a cause of the job?
It's an onus in the job, not onus to the bus.
It's the job cause a problem to the bus. Did the job cause a problem to us? Then it's included in the fees of the job or not. And there's two ways to look at it. It's not so clear. So that's where we're going to leave it with David. We're not so clear at this stage of what's going to be the halacha by the bus. Are they going to be able to keep the money or not? Is it the job is causing the loss? It seems to be, at this stage, we're saying definitely by the dentist case and the genetic cases, they have to return it because there's no loss at all in that situation. Well, we'll get clarity, Mr. Shem, on these issues. I think the next show will be in 2 weeks' time because Purim, yeah? Purim is not next. Moshe Shabbos was Shushan Purim. I think next Motz Shabbos, we won't have a shiur, but 2 weeks' time, we'll pick up these issues from there. Obviously, a 2 weeks break is not ideal because we'll have to refresh everyone's minds. But, Mrs. Shem, have a wonderful, wonderful being with you. Have a Simcha Dika Purim, a meaningful Purim, and a safe Purim. All three of them are very important. And connect with On Above, who's really looking after us and all these issues. Have a wonderful week. Nice being with you this week.
Thank you. The Rav said that the last two cases seem to be the bus, the dentist case and the Nenet seem to be that you don't pay. Does that mean it's not final yet, those cases?
I've got a little knetch on them, I would say.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.